The newsletter comes out way before the events of the world happen. So then you get a title on the sign by the road that says, "Permission to Laugh." Well, it could be, "It's okay to laugh." That would be another way to do it. It's not laugh at, it's not laugh in denial of, but it's laugh to or as well. In yesterday's memorial service, those chalice words by Maureen Caloran, what she pulls together gives us permission to laugh, permission to have other things going on. In the service, when she says, in times of sadness, there is room for laughter. In times of darkness, there always will be light. When she said, in times of sadness, there is room for laughter, and we lit the chalice like that, it actually makes it we're in a memorial service. In those moments, we also share moments of joy and moments of celebration that are going on at the same time. It pulls it together and gives us permission to carry on. What is laughter, after all? What is it? If you were an evolutionary biologist or a neuroscientist, laughter would be understood as that pre-language utterance of sound, something that's hardwired into our brain. We don't have to learn to laugh. We start laughing when we're about four. Anybody else, please turn off your cell phone. It turns out that we don't always laugh at jokes either. About 80% of the time we laugh at things like that. That happened. There have been studies done of that. It also happens that laughter is a social function that humans do together to let each other know and bond with each other that things are okay, that they can carry on and we can go ahead. If we listened to the mix, quite the mix, even in Don and Susie presenting for Joys and Concerns, with Joan standing there, it was the sadness of Susie and Don leaving, and then Joan was sharing what? The joy of her new home in that moment. Laughter helps us bond with each other as a group. When we laugh together, it's been proven that we connect. We can consciously affect or control when we do it, but we can't so much just do it on cue. Like, I can't just laugh right now. I can't, if we think about trying to do that, then I can laugh. But I can't just go, I'm going to laugh. And the other thing is, it's contagious. So sit where you are in your space and now just look at the cover of the order of service. Just even if you didn't laugh, you smiled, right? You moved. It changed the muscles in your face and what was going on. It's a sense that, yes, life can be, or life is good in moments. It's sort of that you experience that moving to laughter. Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh talks about just changing your face from to a smile and how different that feels. So, if we sit with today and the events of the week, and we sit there and we say, okay, I can smile. It's a different world. All of a sudden, there's a foundation there that says there is joy, there is goodness, there is a caring world possible after all. that we can draw on. We can do that. Today is Father's Day. So I got to thinking about, where do we learn? Where do we get permission about when to laugh, when it's okay to laugh? Get permission. You can sort of feel it as you ask the question. You go, yep, what did Dad say? You know, if you start thinking about it, where did I see that modeled? I was reading an article about the importance of memories in my University of Utah alumni magazine, but this woman has written a book that explores meaning through memories. Her name is Teresa Jordan, and here's what she says. When she was 6 or 7 years old, friends of her family took her swimming, and she remembers watching the father play with his 3 kids in the water, helping them climb up onto the side of the pool and then opening his arms. It's the father, not her father. Watching the father play with his 3 kids in the water, helping them climb up onto the side of the pool and then opening his arms so they could jump to him. They were splashing and laughing and having a great time, and she felt a longing so intense it still takes her breath away. Her own father didn't swim and didn't play. He was a big, stern man, and on the ranch where they lived, he taught Jordan how to shift her weight when training a horse to rein, how to double clutch the stock truck, and how to hog tie a calf. From as far back as she can remember, he told her she could do anything she put her mind to, but he was not an affectionate father, and in that moment, at that pool, she realized how much she wanted one. 6 or 7 years old. So I got to thinking, how has our father, my father, affected me when it comes to ways of interacting and enjoying life? Last week, Helen Bishop used the quote from James Freeman Clark, who's been called by Unitarian Universalist scholar David Robinson the most representative figure among the Unitarian clergy and leadership of the 19th century. He created this soundbite called the 5 points of the New Theology that stands as a classic summation of late 19th century Unitarian values. Here's the soundbite. It begins with what? The fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man, the leadership of Jesus, salvation by character, the continuity of human development, or the progress of mankind onward and upward forever. That was the piece that Helen kind of got on. But what is the line that you notice out of that, if I hadn't done it? You would have jumped on the brotherhood of man, because we're aware of the sexism of that language. But we skip over the fatherhood of God, the notion that we see, that we have an organizing understanding of all that is. And if we use God over it, it's a father figure. How many of you here still, in the back of your mind, think of God as a father figure? The fatherhood. Yeah, some of you are not owning up to it. I know that from conversations. But we think of God as serious. So then we think of nature as serious. We think of the universe as judgmental. We think of our lives as needing to get permission to live in the world fully. And permission from whom? From our Father. It's serious. But also, I was looking in the hymnal, trying to find something a little bit different, and I turned to 643, and if you'll... You don't have to turn to that, but it's really just Psalm 25. And it's called Shout for Joy. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth, watering it, making it very rich. The great river swells with water, filling the ridges, blessing the growth of grain. You crown the year with your abundance. The pastures are perfumed with dew. The hills deck themselves with joy. The meadows adorn themselves with flocks. The valleys gown themselves with grain. They shout for joy. They join in song. That's not a very stern, serious image of how the universe works. But it also is a summertime image. It's a summertime harvest image. Father's Day, the first day of summer. I got to thinking about what is our Father's example of laughing. What do we understand from our Father? How did your Father model fun and laughter? Was he restrained or quick to laugh in good fun, often, at himself, others? What effects do the way he laughed have on your life and the way you think about being appropriately serious or moving in right relationship in the world? My father was reserved. I don't want to convey that he was serious, but he was reserved. Not as laughter so much. He conveyed an okayness with life. Life was good, but it was good with a Scottish sense of restraint. Other people gave examples of their fathers when I talked to them, and many were about a reserved, businesslike man who didn't laugh much, and they had to draw on things back from their early childhood when their father played with them. It was as if Dad was about business. But then when he greeted a child, you as a child, the world changed. And he let you know he was glad to see you and that it made the world was right. But then something changed. As you got older, it seemed like the dads engaged their children differently. It was as if they felt the need to convey that the world wasn't really like that. You couldn't laugh. You needed to be more businesslike. Life is business. It's less okay to be engaged with it in these frivolous ways. But as I say those things, that may not be true for you at all. So how did, do you think about this moment, this day, this event, these weeks, how did your father laugh? How did it fit into your picture of him? How did it carry forward as your model of how you can laugh or be or enjoy or share in the world? Does anybody have anything? One person said they enjoyed just thinking about the moments when their father laughed because they hadn't thought about it and how that changed the world.
I'm happy to say that my father laughed. He taught me to laugh. Probably every good joke I ever learned, I heard from my father. He was outgoing, he was joyous, and good to be around.
Yeah.
My dad was an Irishman. He had a wonderful sense of humor. He loved life. I remember we were carpooling to work with a couple of neighbors, and my dad was an early morning person, and the three of us were not. We almost put him out of the car at one point.
Oh, I got you. Anybody else? Jan?
Well, I'm very fortunate my dad is still alive. And he loves a good joke. He can tell a good joke. I can't tell a joke, but I love to listen to him tell a joke. He makes me laugh.
How many people say, I like being around him, he makes me laugh? You know, you've heard that phrase, he makes me laugh. Somebody over here, did I see a hand? Oh, Wendell. Wendell makes me laugh just when he raises his hand.
I remember my dad would play with the softball with my kids and throw it up on the roof and let it roll down and catch it. And we had a domer, and we broke the window in that domer 3 times tossing the ball up there. And it was not a problem. We all just laughed and fixed the window and played again.
Wow. There you go. As I walked back there, I realized the mix of everything that's going on. As Amy walked up, and Amy is the woman with dark hair who happens to be pregnant, and as Amy came forward, I remembered, so here we are thinking all these different things, and I said, oh, I've got a SCOBY in the refrigerator, it reminded me, over in the office to give Amy so that she can make kombucha. And it's just those random kind of life thoughts that come there. And I have to trade that to her for the eggs that she's already given me. So, you know, there you go. And see, there you are laughing at that. But that's because that's life connection on a daily level while we're trying to correct and deal with all these other things. Anybody else with their father laughing? Or if you ask the question, what did your father's, if you didn't ask just about laughing, what did your father's behavior let you know about how life was, about how the world worked? How would you answer that question? As I walked by, somebody said, he let me know that it was okay.
Remember about my father, besides the fact that in laughing, he did amp up the goofy factor in our family. When I and my brother and sisters would get crazy, he would join right in, and it could be very funny. But he also had a wonderful sense of awe and wonder, and I used to be able to go, and he liked watching thunderstorms, and when a really good show was cranking up in the sky, he would go stand on the front porch, and I would stand next to him. And it just was an awesome thing to absorb how it was okay. I mean, I was next to him, so I was safe, right? All the thunder and lightning, and he was just marveling at it, and it taught me to marvel as well.
I'm fortunate to still have my father as well. I'll stand up. But he taught me about self-reliance. He taught me how to fish, how to hunt, how to garden, how to do all these things, to be a self-sustaining person, and that through hard work, it's rewarding to take care of yourself.
My dad was half Irish, half Austrian. So while we walked a straight line, and there were some rough times being very staunch, often he'd have a twinkle in his eye at the end of the day. I think my life has been difficult because of that, although I remember just to have a twinkle at the end of the day.
I remember my dad having that twinkle in his eye more than I remember him laughing wholeheartedly, robustly. But he taught me to fish at a very early age. And he would go out at dawn and come in when the fish stopped biting about 1 or 2 o'clock. And that meant he had to teach me, a girl, how to tee off the side of a boat. And we had several very funny laughs over that. And one time I went in.
And I learned how. I don't care if you have your hand up after that. Absolutely. Oh, but, well, there you go. I mean, you go, wait, this is church. We can't talk that way. So there, no, seriously, there's that word, there's that sense of what do you give yourself permission, what's appropriate, what's doing, but yet there was the interaction where Susie's dad let her know that this is how life can work. It's essential. All right, so enough, stop, rein this back in. So we're looking forward, we're looking backwards at our fathers. Many of us sitting here are fathers, or, you know, we're in the present space. And what if we look forward? As a father, what do I want to convey? Do I want to convey that there's everything that has to be taken seriously? I want to convey that there's a lot that needs to be taken seriously, but there's also daily joy, daily goodness, daily laughter, daily, what was the word, twinkle, that can be in your eye. I haven't always been that way. I have been told that I have a unique style, that I lead with my reservations. And then I move into affirmation. But it doesn't have to be that way. I can change. I can be the person I want to be. James Freeman Clark, salvation by character. But that comes from a theology that says we can change. I can practice. What is my practice? The Dalai Lama, despite all the loss he has experienced, nearly every time you see the Dalai Lama, he is either what? Laughing or smiling? Do you think that he's putting on a front? No, you don't. If you ask him whether he's happy, he answers yes without hesitation. He emphasizes that happiness is built on the foundation of a calm, stable mind. Positive mental states, love, compassion, patience, generosity. Negative mental states, hatred, greed, envy, frustration. And he says you can train the mind to foster positive and challenge negative. So for me, my practice has become a little bit more basic and at home. Hannah, as my daughter, asked me, and by the way, I didn't ask Hannah what she thought of me as her father in relation to this. Thankfully, she's at camp and can't use her cell phone, so I have an excuse. But I asked, you know, she would say about something coming up, and she would say, Dad, are you excited? And I would go, well, not yet. I've got all this I've got to do. I still got to do, and it's a busy weekend, and I've got all this work, but I think it'll be kind of cool. And so you'll go, no, Dad, are you excited? You get the shift. Are you excited? So now I've started practicing, yes, I'm excited. And in texting, I text it in all caps. Now you're laughing at this, and you're saying this is silly and fake, but it's not really, or this is trivial, or not serious enough, but it's real. Now that I do it, I go, yes, I am excited. Under all these layers, Thich Nhat Hanh again, talking about the dust of the layers of the world, I'm excited. So just be excited. Again, that's sort of that laughter, that sense of, oh yeah, even though all this is going on. And the more I do it, the more excited I actually get about what's coming up. In our Soul Matters group this last Thursday, one of the people said that that was the take-home message from the whole group, was this sense of, I am excited, even as I'm going about all these things that has to happen. That's a practice. That's changing how your mind works in relation to this. Not serious enough, that's what you may say. But I missed the next page here for how to end it. It wasn't supposed to be humorous. Hang on a second, because I'm going to find this sucker. Okay. What's that? Somebody said, add in there. So, thinking about it, thinking about giving ourselves permission to laugh, permission to move in that direction, to have a sense of humor. One of the things, as we were talking about the issues of the day, I hesitate to recommend this, but I will. If you don't think that laughing makes a difference, even with serious issues, go find Jeff Jeffries' comedy routine about gun control. Jeff Jeffries on gun control. And he uses the F-bomb a lot, and then he uses a C-word that is offensive, and he says more about gun control in that 11-minute monologue than I could stand up here doing in a sermon. And I ended up laughing about it, and as a result of laughing and having that understanding, I came away hopeful. Not big deal hopeful, little deal hopeful. Little different shift. So you can say you heard it in church when you're watching that. But Susie already opened that door, so... Father's Day. If we are going to give stubborn witness to our belief that in times of sadness there is room for laughter, in times of darkness there always will be light, if we are going to give stubborn witness so that we may, or if we are to hold fast to the conviction that what we do with our lives matters and that a caring world is possible after all, maybe we can do more than give ourselves permission to laugh. We should make it our business to practice it. Seriously. Not really. Give yourself permission to laugh. It's okay to laugh. It's necessary to find out how to have that twinkle and that sense of life is okay so we can carry on and not burn out and be sure that caring world is possible after all. Happy Father's Day.